Stand with me quickly. We'll read this psalm, and we have a few thoughts I want to share. We'll bring this psalm to a close, and in coming days we'll begin Psalm 98. But let's look in Psalm 97. This psalm, I think, has been right, I know for me personally, has been right on time. And I'm thankful. Ain't it amazing how we study these psalms and this ain't the first time, but just how, Brother Jack, they line up with different events a church maybe is going through or different families are going through. And the Lord knows exactly what we need. And I'm glad we've got a God that's like that. The Lord reigneth. Verse 1, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness surround about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion, this is what we dealt with on last week. Zion heard and was glad. And the daughters of Judah rejoice. Why is all this gladness being experienced among the people of God? Because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Now verse 10, 11, and 12 are the verses we want to cover tonight. Listen to what the psalmist said. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth, I love this, he preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You can be seated this evening. We understand that this psalm, it likely and in our view is probably one that was penned down by David. And really didn't have much significance as far as among old Israel until the time of the dedication of the second temple. They would use this psalm to cheer their heart and cause their minds and their eyes to be set upon the Lord and all his glory and all his revelation and manifestation as he has revealed himself to them. In days gone by, this psalm begins the same as Psalm 93 and Psalm 99, emphasizing the thought very clearly and very plainly that the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. This psalm is magnifying then the lordship of Jesus Christ. And in this psalm, we have said each of the 2 weeks that we've embarked upon preaching it, that this psalm can be outlined or see the theme of the Lord Jesus in this psalm, that Jesus is sovereign, verse 1, and he is severe, verses 2 through 6. He is solitary, verses 7 through 9, just simply meaning he is truly the only Lord and the only God. And that in verse 10 through 12 that we deal with tonight, he is Savior. And I'm thankful tonight that in his lordship, he is these things to you and me. Amen. The fact that he reigns reveals these truths to us in our life. And so this psalm is magnifying the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. We've got to get our eyes on that. Amen. In this psalm and in our life and in what we're going through, the Lord reigneth. Amen. If everything's up in your life, it is the Lord that reigneth. If everything is on a downward trend, amen, it does not change the truth of this psalm, the Lord reigneth. And this is a crowd that had been in captivity for so long. This is a crowd that has spent many, many years laboring to rebuild the temple and get their minds and hearts right. And now they're looking back on everywhere they've been and where God has brought them to.
And Brother Larry, the conclusion is they use the thoughts of David in this psalm is simply the Lord reigneth. Amen. He was reigning when we went into captivity. He was reigning these years that we had spiritual struggles and physical struggles and opposition on every hand, whether internally or externally. And now they stand in the place of the house of God, having been rebuilt. And they are reminding themselves it is the Lord that reigneth. Amen. The enemy was not reigning. Amen. The conditions of the day were not reigning over them. The devil was not in charge and reigning. Oh no, friend. Amen. The Lord was the one that was reigning in their day. And may we say, amen, He still reigns tonight. And the Lord reigneth, the Lord reigneth. I love the word reigneth. Amen, it implies that He's in charge, He's in control, He's on the throne. And the tense and the idea behind this word is, amen, that it is an ongoing reign. It is a reigning or a ruleship or a lordship, amen, that is and yet always has been and always will be. And so what a thought that is tonight, the Lord reigneth. But the connection we're making in this psalm is that of this truth of Christ's position to that of the gladness that the psalm calls upon those that know the Lord and have acknowledged His lordship, is that it ought to spark some gladness and excitement and praise and thanks and joy within our heart. The Lord reigneth, David said in verse number 1. And then he said, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. That word thereof just simply means because he reigns, somebody ought to be glad. Amen. And so we're preaching using this psalm. We find the theme of gladness throughout. Amen. Connected to the opening line, the Lord reigneth. And we're preaching on, I'm glad Jesus reigns. Amen. There's just something in our heart. Amen. And David is calling upon the earth and the multitude of the isles. Amen. That is all of creation, Brother Maurice, all of the earth and all the inhabitants of it. Amen. Should be glad because he reigns. And yet, amen, there are many that despise that tonight. They reject that tonight. They deny, amen, the fact that the Lord reigneth. But that is not the case with the righteous, and that is not the case with the saints of God. Amen. And if all the earth should rejoice and all the multitude of the isles should be glad about this thought, amen, then should you and I not be at the head of the line with voices uplifted and hands upraised and hearts overflowing with joy and excitement, amen, and the faith that comes from the thought, amen, the Lord reigneth. And so we're going on record through this psalm, as David is, amen, simply to say, I'm glad Jesus reigns. I'm glad Jesus reigns. Boy, I'm glad I'm not in control tonight. Amen, I'm glad he didn't save me and say, now you go do the best you can and rule and reign your life. Amen, I'm glad that tonight he's not committed his lordship. Amen, and the responsibility and care of my life and our church and our soul and our circumstances to anybody else. Amen, he didn't say, Abraham, you make sure they make it safe to the other side. Amen, he didn't say, Moses, you go down there and you lead them. No, the Lord reigns tonight. Amen, and that thrills or should thrill our heart. Amen, that the Lord reigneth. Amen, the Lord reigneth. I'm glad Jesus reigns. And so when looking in this psalm, that there are some things magnified about his lordship that ought to bring us some joy, or if we'll follow these truths, we'll, amen, cause our heart to know the gladness of Jesus reigning. And so we looked in the opening 7 verses, the thought, the accountability to his lordship. How that my friend, a soul can truly say, I'm glad Jesus reigns, when their eyes have been illuminated to the fact that He does. Amen. That God has revealed Himself to that soul. Amen. The blinders have fallen off. The heart of rebellion and the coldness thereof has been melted away. And through conviction and drawing and seeing who the Lord is, that, amen, we have bowed our knee to the one in whom we are accountable to. Amen. What a blessed day it was when we seen the Lord, when we heard the Lord, when we began to know the Lord. Amen. And the fact that He reigns, and how His Spirit convicted us, how His grace met us where we were, how the power of the gospel saved and changed our life. Amen. We are accountable to His Lordship. Boy, I wish the world could understand that tonight, red and yellow, black and white. Amen. The rich and the poor, those of every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue. Amen. One day you're going to bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You may not like the fact that He reigns. You may not like the fact that in His Lordship He has gave commands and He has set the rules and He has set the boundaries. Amen. But at the end of the day, we are accountable to Him in His Lordship. When you've come to understand that, and you gladly and you willingly, amen, bow your knee to the accountability of His Lordship, amen, you'll be able to rise off that knee saying, I'm glad Jesus reigns. Amen. Last week we dealt with the authority in His Lordship. And we looked at verse number 9, reiterating the theme of the psalm and the exalting of Christ above all. Amen. He is above all. This is in connection to verse number 8. Amen. Where because of the judgments of the Lord, Zion has heard God's word, His verdict as given through His word has made them glad. And the daughters of Judah have been stirred to praise because they have been made to know the judgments of the Lord. Amen. The judgments we dealt with, the word of God, this is where the authority, amen, His authority and His Lordship has been placed. Amen. We have, as good as it were, Jesus Christ, amen, walking among us, living among us in bodily form. Amen. We have that in the written word of God. Amen. Somebody said, when Jesus had come down and tell me tell me what to do, I would do it. Amen. Can I say, amen, if you won't do it because it's in here, you'd no more do it if He was in the building tonight. Amen. Because this is where He's put His authority. Amen. Thank God for His word tonight. I don't want to re-preach it all. Amen. We dealt with that relationship. Amen. To His authority, it was Zion and the daughters of Judah. Amen. It wasn't pagans and drunkards and rebels. Amen. That heard it and were glad. They hear it and get mad. Amen. They hear what God's verdict is on holy living and where God has drawn the lines, and they buck it and they rebel against it. Amen. But those who are of spiritual Zion and the spiritual daughters of Judah and have been made the children of God have a relationship, amen, to the authority of the, amen, of the Word, the place where His authority is, the regard for it. Amen. They heard it with the intent of obeying it and living it. Amen. They weren't offended when they were challenged. They listened attentively. Amen. Looking for every area of their life that they could take God's precepts and principles and plug it into their life. Amen. Rejoicing in the authority of the Word. Amen. They were glad and made to rejoice. And so when we recognize the authority in His Lordship, that is His Word, and submit ourselves to it, and listen with the intent to obey, and then, Brother Riley, we come out of a service, we come out of our devotions, we, amen, are able to live our life from day to day simply saying, I'm glad Jesus reigns. Amen. That brings us to our closing three verses for just a moment tonight. And we call this section of verses 10 through 12 the admonitions of His Lordship. I think this is really where, amen, the practicality of our spiritual life and our Christian life meets this truth about the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the joy and the gladness that, amen, ought to be stirred within us over that truth. David here is going to plug in some principles and truths into our life about how we live in light of that Lordship. And we call them admonitions. They are exhortations. They are challenges to our life about how we're to live in light of the fact that Jesus reigns. Amen. And we've come under that accountability. We understand the authority of His Word. Amen. Now we've got to do something with our life. Amen. So that joy is not suffocated. It's not a wet blanket. Amen. Thrown on the gladness that we ought to have. Amen. About His Lordship. And let's be honest tonight. Amen. This generation of Christianity is dragging their tracks out and they're bogged down and they blame everybody else for why they are in the shape they're in. Amen. But I want to say tonight there's some admonitions if we'll live by it. Amen. That will plug us into the truth. I'm glad Jesus reigns. Amen. Even when your world seems like it's falling apart, even when you've been hurt. Amen. Beyond imagination and description and being able to tell about it. Amen. You'll be able to say, I'm glad Jesus reigns. Amen. Even though the world all around us is, amen, crumbling it. Amen. On a fast road to hell and damnation and destruction. There's something in the life of a child of God. Amen. If we'll live by what David says here, we'll be able to pill our head tonight. Amen. Not grieved and not bogged down and not bitter with the life that we've been saved to live, but we'll be able to say, I'm glad Jesus reigns. Amen. Amen. And so look at these closing three verses and the instructions given to those who are the righteous. Amen. If we are to know the joy and gladness of Jesus reigning in our heart, consider these three things. We are, everybody listen now, that we are personally responsible to do. Amen. I can't make you do these things. Amen. Your parents can't make you do these things. Amen. Nobody can do it for you. These are things we are personally responsible to do with our spiritual life that I think if we'll do it, we'll be able to say every day, you know what, it's been a tough day, but I'm still glad Jesus reigns. Number one, y'all want these quickly? Amen. Number one, consider this thought. We are responsible to live in love with Jesus. Amen. You say, well, that's simple, preacher. You better believe it's simple. Amen. But what a wondrous truth tonight. Amen. If we're going to live right in light of His Lordship and know the joy of it, amen, we must live in love with Jesus. Look with me in the opening line of verse number 10, where the psalmist said, ye that love the Lord. I want to ask us tonight, amen, I want to ask you tonight, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? That is an important question. Amen, I believe tonight when we consider this statement, ye that love the Lord, that immediately my mind goes to that to love the Lord. Is that first and greatest commandment that we, the saved of God, amen, are to understand and to live under. Amen. Master, tell us, what is the first and greatest commandment? Amen. Of all the commandments, Jesus said, here it is. This is what all the law and all the prophets hang on. Amen. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. Amen. And so David strikes at the very core of what our Christianity ought to be built upon. Amen. The fact that we love the Lord. Amen. Ye that love the Lord. May I say tonight, not everybody loves the Lord. Amen. Not everybody loves the Lord. We know the heathens don't love it. I'm not talking about them. I know the drunkards don't know Him. They do not love Him. I'm not talking about them. Amen. I'm talking about those that, amen, are even saved and truly born again. Amen. That we must understand. Amen. We may not be loving the Lord like we ought to. And you remember what the Lord asked Peter? Peter, do you love me more than you love these? Amen. And He was challenging Peter's life. I'm talking about one that walked with the Lord in bodily form. Amen. One that, my friend, served alongside the Lord. Amen. One that visibly laid his eyes upon the resurrected Savior. And the Lord that reigns came to him and said, amen, Peter, do you love me? I believe He would ask tonight, Riley, do you love me? Amen. Challenging, my friend, the love that we have for the Lord Jesus tonight. Amen. A person that lives in all the other commands but does not love the Lord. Listen now. Amen. I want this to be good and clear and plain. This is good pastoral preaching right here. Amen. If you live all the other commands and yet you do not truly do it from a heart of obedience to the first and greatest commandment, being in love with the Lord, listen, you will not be able to say, I'm glad Jesus reigns. You say, preacher, you may, and I can have all of the other commandments nailed down, have every I dotted, every T cross, every jot and every tittle, and be clean as a hound's tooth, whatever that means. Amen. And not love the Lord like I should, and not be glad that Jesus reigns. Oh, my friend, listen, I didn't just start out on yesterday. Amen. My whole life has been lived around, amen, churches like this, and I have observed, amen, before I was saved, I have surely observed since I've been saved, that there is a crowd that is miserable. They are saved. They're going to the same heaven we're going to. Amen. They have been born again. My friend, they are grieved in their heart. They feel like they're in prison. They feel like they're in captivity. Amen. Because of all the rules and all the boundaries and all the commandments that they're trying to keep. Amen. And if you ain't careful, it won't be long. Amen. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about tonight. It won't be long if you don't love the Lord. Amen. You'll begin to despise those boundaries. You'll begin to be grieved over those that, amen, are trying to structure your life in the right way. Amen. Let me show you a verse tonight. Amen. Boy, I gotta hurry now. We're gonna be all night. Am I making any sense? Amen. Look with me in 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Boy, what a verse. Two verses I'm about ready to show you. Amen. The Bible said this in 1 John 5, verse number 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Boy, I love 1 John. You know what John does? John's telling you how you can know what you really know. Amen. He's revealing, amen, ways to know whether you're real or whether you're a phony. I love that. Amen. And so He says, we know that we love the children of God when we what? Number one, love God. when we love God. You got to love God in order to love the children of God. Amen. And keep His commandments. For this is the love of God. Boy, I want to know. Amen. John, tell me, what is the love of God? What is it for my heart to love the Lord? Amen. I got to know this, because David said he was writing and admonishing and exhorting and instructing. Amen. Those that love the Lord. John, tell me what it is to love God. That we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Here's how you can know if you're living in love with Jesus. Does it grieve your heart to have to live His commandments? Amen. Because if you're in love with Him, amen, you're not saying, I have to do this. You're not living as though you're in a prison. Oh no, you realize that Jesus actually sets you free. That you're not in bondage anymore. That, amen, we have liberty to stand fast in. Amen, not liberty to do what we want to do. Not liberty to live a carnal life. Not liberty to live in sin. Not liberty to do what we want. And we have been liberated from sin and the world and a carnal mindset, and live in love with Jesus to do what pleases Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, as children of God, I believe there's something in the divine nature we receive that wants to love God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 1 Peter 1 and in verse number 8, Peter said, amen, having not seen, ye love. Amen. You say, preacher, how in the world can we love Him? We've never seen that. Amen. All I can say is there's something divine in me. Amen. That wants to please Him, that wants to love on Him, that, amen, wants to say, Lord, teach me and lead me and direct me. I ain't looking for loopholes. I'm not looking for an easy route. Amen. I'm looking to do that would please You, because I love You with all my heart. Amen. Preacher, you ain't seen Him. How can you love it? Amen. In whom having not seen you love? Amen. Here's what John would say in 1 John 4 and in verse number 19. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. When David writes, ye that love the Lord, amen, he's saying, live in love with Jesus. Amen. When you realize it was God that loved you first, amen, it was God that loved us unconditionally. It was God who loved us to the very death of His own Son. Amen. When we realize His love for us, and when we were unlovely, when we had nothing to offer, amen, God loved us anyway. It sparks in us a desire to want to love on Him back. Amen. Amen. When we love Him, when we, amen, when we love Him, recognizing He loved us first, we love the one that we have yet to see. Amen. Oh, I got to give you this verse. Let me read it so I get it right. Amen. 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, chapter number 8, and in verse number 3, where the Bible said, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Amen. Can I say tonight? Amen. God knows whether or not we love Him. Amen. God knows tonight. Amen. It ain't what we say. Amen. We're not talking about lip service. We're not talking about standing to get applause of men. Amen. But if any man love God, I believe that to mean, Brother Riley, if any man truly loves God, if a man has an ounce of love of God in his heart, amen, God knows that love. And God acknowledges acknowledges that love, and God honors that love that we have for God. And so we ask the question because, amen, Paul in that verse is saying, but if any man love God, and so it's possible, amen, we would be void of that love, and God would know that as well. But if any man love God, the same is known of him.
Amen.
God knows those who love him. That's why the third time Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you lovest thou me more than these? Peter finally flung his hands up and said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, I'm going to quit arguing with you. Lord, I'm going to stop trying to convince you. Lord, thou knowest all things. Amen. I want to tell you tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, do you love the Lord? I want to say tonight, I'm trying to love the Lord. Amen. It's in my heart to love the Lord tonight. Amen. I know, and there's room for all of us to love him more. Amen. I'm sure there's a many a days I ain't loved him like I should. Amen. But I want to live in love with Jesus. Amen. Where his commandments are not grievous. Where, amen, he can say, I know Ledbetter loves me. I know that he loves me. I know that he's striving to please me in all that he does. And in every place he goes, and in everything he wears, and in every conversation he has, and I know that he loves me because my commandments in his life are not grievous.
Amen.
Ye that love the Lord. Notice, amen, as we began to live in love with Jesus, amen, in this psalm, there is something that, amen, that is admonished here in this living in love with Jesus that really tells the tale. Amen, if we live in love with Jesus, the psalmist said, hate evil.
Amen.
Amen. That is, amen, all that is in the world. The Bible said the whole world lieth in wickedness. I'm a preaching to a generation that thinks, you know, there's just some things out there that are bad. Amen. The Bible said the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole system is cursed. The whole layout of it is, amen, under a state of wickedness and an evil influence. And if we really love the Lord, and the more we love the Lord, amen, the psalmist said in acknowledging his lordship, amen, live in love with him, and you do that by hating the evil.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. There is a cultural Christianity that says I can love Jesus and the world and the things that are in the world at the same time. But that is an impossibility. Jesus dealt with this. A man cannot serve two masters. For why? He will either love the one and hate the other, or he'll love the other and hate the one. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve me. You cannot live in my lordship. Amen. So long as you're trying to hold hands with this world. Ye then love the Lord and live in light of, amen, live in the love with Jesus. Ye then love the Lord, hate evil. This word hate, boy, I'm going too long. I'm bogging down. Amen. Listen to this and I'll move on to the second point. Amen. This word hate evil. Amen. David didn't say dislike it. David didn't say just frown at it every now and then. But Gerald, he said, if you really love the Lord, hate evil.
Amen.
That word hate means to be unwilling. Be unwilling to go down evil roads.
Yes,
sir. It means to be hostile to.
Amen.
To be an enemy to. My friend, we're not called to get along with the world. I know we're to love sinners, and I understand we're to reach out. And if you're a child of God and you don't do that, you don't love Jesus. Amen. And I understand those principles. Amen. But the line of balance, the line of demarcation in life of the child of God. Amen. Is yes, we love the sinner, but amen, we ought not ever get along with sin. We ought not ever get along with evil. We ought always be willing, amen, to make a stand, to be unwilling, amen, to participate, to be unwilling, amen, to go down those roads and even in our friendship with God be hostile toward an evil world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What is the result of living in love with Jesus? Is this verse, this very verse, it promises victory to those who will love Him. For them we find that He'll preserve, amen, the souls of His saints and deliver, amen, He will deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. Amen. Oh, I'm glad that when we live in love with Jesus, there is a promise, amen, of continual and constant action, amen, in our lives from our Lord, amen, as He preserves us and delivers us from day to day. Amen. Child of God, church member, amen, grandparents, parents, young folk, listen to me tonight. Live in love with Jesus.
Amen.
If you'll live loving Him, you'll be able to get up every day and say, I'm glad Jesus reigns.
Hey.
Amen. If you'll live in love with Him, you'll be able to pillow your head tonight and say, I'm glad Jesus reigns, because, amen, that gladness can only flow from a heart that is madly in love with their Savior.
Amen.
Let me give you the second point. Not only live in love with Jesus, but number two, live in the light of Jesus.
Yes,
verse 11 said, light is sown for the righteous. Boy, I need a whole sermon. I need a whole hour to preach a whole sermon on this, Brother Jack, but let me give it to you as quickly as I can. Light is a symbol of truth in the Scripture. Light is what Jesus said He had come into the world to be. Was it not our Savior that said, I am the light of the world? We read of statements that are made about the glorious light of the gospel. Amen. The light of truth. We read of light, amen, showing up throughout all of the Scripture. And yet, in this psalm that is magnifying the Lord reigneth, and be glad about that, is admonishing you and I and exhorting you and I, amen, that there is light that is being sown into our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's being sown. This word sown, it means to disseminate, or what you would think literally, to plant. It indicates, now listen, it indicates the act of sowing the ground with an expectation that it will bear fruit after its kind.
Amen.
You sow corn in the ground, you have the expectation that it's going to bear fruit of corn in days to come, right? What you sow, you intend on reaping.
Amen.
Amen. And so the Lord sows light. The Lord, amen, gives these avenues of spiritual light that are sown. Amen. They're sown in our personal walk with the Lord. They're sown through the man of God preaching the Word of God and shining light from the Scripture into your life. Amen. It is light that is sown in so many ways and different times. The Lord is sowing light, but that light that He is sowing in our life, He is planting it there with an expectation. Hey, Brother Larry, we will bear fruit after the same kind of seed that He has sown.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So, the Lord sows light. Oh, hang on now. The Lord sows light. Many of God's people in these days are producing darkness. There is a problem. The problem is not with God, and the problem is not with the seed. Amen. The problem is with our own walk. Back in 1 John chapter number 1 and in verse number 5, 6, and 7, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. Listen, our God, the God of the Bible, the God that saved you, He is light. And John said, you need to understand this, in Him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness in God. There are no gray areas. There are no shadows. All God is light. All God gives is light. All God will show in your life is going to be light. Amen. If we say, verse number 6, that we have fellowship with Him and walk, here it is now, and walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. I know God. I walk with God. I fellowship with God. John said, if you have darkness in your life, you lie. Amen. We lie and do not what? The truth. Remember, truth is symbolized as light. He said in verse number 7, but if we walk in the light, a light that God is, a light that God gives, a light that God shows, a light that God communicates, if we walk in the light, are you walking in the light? Amen. God is sowing light tonight. Amen. God sowed light on Sunday night. Amen. God sowed light on Sunday morning. Amen. God sowed some light in Sunday school. Amen. And God is always sowing light. Are you walking in the light?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Is there the bearing of fruit in your life after the same kind of light that has been sown?
Amen.
He said, if we walk in the light, oh, now don't miss it, as He is in the light. You see, everybody wants to move the boundaries. Everybody wants to, amen, everybody wants to have their own measurement of what the light is. And John said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know what the light does? It purifies. A light, my friend, cleanses. It is the light that, amen, that shines the light on the dark that's in our life. And if I walk in the light, if I let the light that is sowing, amen, bear fruit in my life, guess what? I will come out walking in the light. I want to say tonight, I'm glad that we have light, amen, from our Savior tonight. Light is sown. Amen. Look at our verse again. Light is sown for the righteous. Amen. Ain't you glad we have light? Amen. I think about this. Oh, Lord, help me preach this out. That's in my heart. We're living in a land that is full of darkness. Darkness is on every hand. And may we say, as Jesus said and instructed Nicodemus, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Why is it that people can't do what they do out in the open? It's because there is darkness associated with their deeds.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. There's all kinds of darkness, and this world loves to have it that way. Can I say, and kind of turn this thing maybe a little more positive here for a moment, that God has given us light, and that light is great. Amen. Light is sown. Light is sown. Are we in dark days? You better believe we are. Perilous times have come. Amen. There is darkness on every hand. Let me read a few verses to you and I'll draw this. I'll just mention the last point and we're done. Amen. But Psalm 112 and in verse number 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Amen. Can I say tonight, in a dark day, and God has given to the upright, amen, light has arisen in our life. Amen. Right here in 2022, amen, in a day of darkness, there is light. Amen. God is light. Amen. Amen. Jesus is light. There is light that comes from the Lord that reigneth, and there is light in dark days. Why do we have light? Why has God give us light? Why would God invest His light into you and I? Brother Tim, the psalmist said, amen, because He is gracious, because He is full of compassion, and because He is righteous. You see, those that are the upright and righteous and the saints and the saved, the darkness does not affect us like it does this world. Why? Because we're not of the dark anymore. We're not of the dark anymore. Amen. You say, but preacher, these are dark days. It seems like it's darker than it's ever been. Well, let me cheer you with another verse found in Proverbs 4 and in verse number 18. Amen. The Bible said, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth not less and less, not dimmer and dimmer. The light is not going out. The light is not fading from view. Amen. The Bible said, amen, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. There is as much light being given to the righteous tonight as there ever has been before. Amen. And may we say, the next verse said, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. In other words, Sissy said, it's going to get dark. The wicked are always going to be headed down a dark road. The darker the night gets, amen, the brighter the light is going to shine in the light of the just. Amen. Quit feeling sorry for ourselves. Amen. Yes, it's dark. Yes, there's a hardness in the way. My friend, our light ought to be shining more and more. Walk and live in the light of Jesus. When the plague of darkness hit Egypt's land in Exodus chapter number 10, it was so dark they could not see their way. They couldn't strike a match. They couldn't light a fire. They couldn't walk around with a torch. God zapped every bit of light out of Egypt's land. There was no manufactured light. Amen. They lived under that plague in absolute darkness. And if you go to the other side, my friend of Egypt, amen, down in a land of Goshen, amen, there's a little ragtag half beat up. Amen. People who's been weeping for a deliverer. Amen. And the Bible said that the children of Israel had light. Amen. Egypt had no light. But Israel had light. Amen. Egypt, my friend, was stumbling around. Amen. But God gave light. Amen. You say, explain that. It was by divine miracle. It was by divine providence. I'm telling you tonight, amen, all that's going on around us is darkness. But tonight, there's still light for the children of God. Why? Because the Lord sows light to the righteous. So, preacher, I just can't see my way. I'm just stumbling around. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you why. You're not living in the light of Jesus. Amen. Do y'all, and I'll give you another illustration that felt so good out of Exodus. In the book of Esther. Amen. You remember how sad that story was shaping up to be? That Mordecai and all the Jews were about ready to hang from the gallows. And how that the Lord divinely intervened it. Amen. Before the story is done, Haman and all, amen, his family and his descendants are hanging on the very gallows. And the children of Israel, amen, wept over and they, amen, they were burdened about and it looked dark and it looked like their demise was coming. In the book of Esther, chapter number 8 and verse number 16, it said that the Jews had light and gladness and rejoicing. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that, hey, amen, child of God, it may feel like your world's crumbling. It may feel like the old devil, my friend's about to hang you for the last time. It may feel like you're about ready to be done in. That you hang on, we serve the God of the land. Amen, that in a split moment of time, amen, in one prayer meeting, he can turn it all around and you can have light again sown into your life. Amen. Quit living in the despondency of darkness. Quit living in the darkness of discouragement. Quit living in the darkness of feeling sorry for yourself. God sows light to the righteous. Oh, this world needs to see some people that know the Lord reigns and are glad that the Lord reigns. And so long as you're focused on the night and the dark and all the bad and all the goons and the goblins and the ghosts, amen, you think you're seeing in your spiritual life, amen, you're going to walk around, amen, sad when in fact we ought to be glad that Jesus reigns.
Yes, sir.
Live in love with Jesus. Live in the light of Jesus. Verse 12, live looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. How do we do that? We do it by remembering His holiness. And I just remind you tonight, His holiness is what governs everything He does as He reigns. And because of His perfect holiness, everything He does as He reigns is right. God ain't ever done you wrong. You say, you don't know what people do. I'm not talking about people. Get in line. It's a big long line. If you want to stand in that line, amen. We're not talking about people. We're talking about the one that reigns. We're talking about the one who reached down and saved us. We're talking about the one that saved us for His own glory. And if we're gonna make it through this life being glad that Jesus reigns, you got to get your eyes off people, get them on Jesus. Amen. And rejoice. Amen. Yeah, I've been hurt. I've been hurt. I've been stabbed. I've been kicked. I've had rocks thrown. I've been lied on. I've been cheated out of this and that. Amen. None of that really matters when you're really looking at Jesus. So you just being super spiritual. No, I'm being biblical tonight. If you can get your eyes on Him and live looking to Jesus, you'll pillow your head here in a little bit saying, I'm glad Jesus reigns. You'll wake up in the morning and you'll say it all over again and you'll echo it from day to day. I'm glad Jesus reigns. Amen. Well,